Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
It's Fan Mail Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. And as we try to do occasionally on Fridays, we like to end the week with some emails that have come to us from Latter-day Saints, many of whom are not very happy with some of the things that we do here at MRM, and perhaps not very happy with some of the articles that we have written on MRM.org. And we kind of go through them and critique them and hopefully point out what we think are flaws in arguments and even errors in assumptions that many Latter-day Saints make when it comes to people who disagree with their church.
Maybe there's a Mormon out there, Bill, who wants to know how he can write to us.
He can easily write us by just sending his question to contact@mrm.org. Perhaps we might just read your letter on the air. But we received this one just recently, Eric, from a Mormon named David. And David says, "I am a Mormon, born and raised. I believe in what you call celestial polygamy." Now, I have to explain, what is he talking about? We have an article on MRM.org called Celestial Polygamy. And what we do in that article is we demonstrate that whenever a Mormon says that they no longer believe in polygamy, that they are not being 100% accurate on that. The Mormon Church certainly has not completely abandoned the doctrine of plural marriage. It's just that today it is not practiced quite in the same way as it was practiced in the 19th century. In other words, it's perfectly okay for a Mormon male to be sealed to more than one wife if the plural wife, the second or third or whatever wife, was not sealed to another man previously. And in the article, we give three examples of Mormon apostles that are living today that are practicing what has been called by Latter-day Saints as celestial polygamy. In other words, they are not married to more than one living wife right now, but because all three are widowers, in other words, they've outlived their first wife that they were sealed to and have taken upon themselves to be sealed to a second wife who was not sealed to a previous husband. They have every intention of being married to both wives in the next life. So in Mormonism, certainly polygamy will go on in the next life, though it's not practiced the same way as it was in the 19th century. Those three apostles, if you're wondering who they are M. Russell Nelson, Dallin Oaks, and L. Tom Perry. All three are widowers who remarried and have every reason to believe, according to their faith, that they will be practicing polygamy in the next life. That's what this Mormon gentleman is referring to. But he says, "I believe in what you call celestial polygamy." There was some research done recently, Eric, the Pew Research, I believe it was called, and They asked Mormons about the subject of polygamy. What were the statistics on that?
Well, this comes from the research, as you mentioned, the Pew Foundation, and it was called Mormons in America, Certain in Their Beliefs, Uncertain of Their Place in Society, and much of it talking about the idea, do Mormons consider themselves Christians, which overwhelmingly they do, and some other things. But as far as polygamy, as far as the morality of that, only 2% morally acceptable. 86% say polygamy is morally wrong.
Okay, now, I'm sure the question was probably asked more within the context of one man living with more than one...
I'm sure.
...living woman. But still, I wonder how many of those that were asked that question even understand what the concept of celestial polygamy is even all about. I would venture to say that many of them would probably even be surprised that three of their own apostles are sealed to more than one wife and have every reason to believe that they're going to be with those women in the next life. But this person says, "I believe in what you call celestial polygamy." I would have to understand that he doesn't have a problem with plural wives. But he goes on and makes this really, I think, unfounded connection. He says, by your own admission, you do not believe Abraham was a prophet. You do not believe Isaac or Jacob were prophets. You do not believe David was a good man after he married his second wife. Now, if I say second wife, you're probably thinking, what? That would probably be who?
Bathsheba.
But he says not Bathsheba. She was number 200-something. That's what he says in parentheses.
Right.
There's no evidence to support that. This person is just throwing that number out. I don't know where he's getting it, because the Bible never does tell us how many wives David had with, and I should say concubines. It does mention in the Bible that there were seven women that were specifically named as David's wives, and you can find this in 1 Chronicles chapter 3.
But he's not talking about concubines. He's talking about wives here in the context, mm-hmm. and I think he might be confused with Solomon, perhaps.
Well, Solomon certainly had a lot,
yeah,
so. And there's no doubt. But even then, is there an actual number? I'm not sure. There could be, but I don't know where he's getting this when it comes to David. He goes on to say, I like how you paint the Mormon church as this lying, deceitful, abominable church that just loves to go around enslaving women. Where have we ever said that? See, I don't understand where he's drawing this connection. This is ample proof, I think, Eric, that a lot of Latter-day Saints, because they are so angry at us for quoting their own leaders, and that's primarily what we do on this show, that's primarily what we do on our website, is we quote what Mormon leaders have said.
You've written a whole book on that, Bill, called In Their Own Words.
In Their Own Words. And one of the main criticisms that I often get is it seems that Mormons don't like us quoting their own leaders. And my response to that is, why wouldn't you want me to do that? Why wouldn't you want the world to know what LDS leaders, these Latter-day prophets and apostles, have actually said on these very important issues? But Mormons seem to get really ticked off about that. They don't like that we are allowing people to hear for themselves what Mormon leaders have taught on these issues. We have never, ever, David, we have never implied that the Mormon church loves to go around enslaving women. That's not one of our arguments. No. Now, there may be some out there that are making that kind of an argument, but I certainly wouldn't support it. I don't think that's really the truth.
He says that we're calling them an abominable church. What would you say to that, Bill?
Isn't that kind of what they say about us? You know, I mean, aren't we an abominable church? According to some Mormon leaders, that's the impression that they give about us. Maybe not more in a public setting, but certainly among themselves, they don't have very high regard for Bible-believing Christians, or really many professing Christians outside of the Mormon church, unless they want to somehow deem the Mormon church to be Christian. And then, of course, they love those kind of professing Christians. Mm. He goes on to say, so let's all go back to our preacher and pay him the $500 a month out of our pocket so we can go and drink beer and sleep with our girlfriend and be saved in the kingdom of God, because our preacher tells us with faith Jesus' grace will save us from our sins.
Where have we heard that before? Yeah, similar things.
And you know, folks, it gets boring to hear these kind of arguments, because once again, it only proves that this person, David, is really not listening to what we are saying. And certainly we wouldn't condone that kind of behavior, but Mormons do tend to make fun about Christians, and this stereotype has even been put together in a little bit of a poem, as your daughter has heard at school. She said several times she's heard Mormons touting this little poem.
Well, and this is the misconception, Bill, that Christians are allowed to go up the aisle, commit their lives to Jesus, and then go out and sin like hell, commit murder and adultery and the rest. And my daughter goes to a local high school here in the Valley and has LDS friends. I think all of her friends are pretty much all Latter-day Saints. And so they have a good relationship. And so they jokingly will sing the song to her. And I have another friend of mine who used to be a missionary in California. And one time he was talking to me and he started to sing this little song. And my daughter says, oh, I recognize that song. Well, let me tell you just the first few verses of this song. Here's how it goes. Born again, free from sin, never have to work again, because Jesus paid the price for me, went out late one Friday night and got into a fight. That's okay, because Jesus sets me free. The song goes on and on and on, but and I guess there's different versions with different people. Maybe if you're a Latter-day Saint, you recognize that. But it's used to mock the Christian, the idea of this easy believism, that you can do whatever you want and you still get to go to heaven.
I'm curious. I haven't talked to your daughter about this specifically, but I'm wondering, how did they tell her that?
Well, they've had conversations, and they've been very productive conversations at lunchtime, and then they'll just kind of, and they know that it bothers her a little bit, but they have good enough relationship where they tease her with that. And so they'll sing that to her. And so, yeah, imagine being a high schooler, a Christian high schooler, and all your friends are Latter-day Saints, and that's kind of the treatment. Now, again, I don't know the kids personally, but it's, wow, I don't know if I would, if I thought that, I wouldn't say that to somebody who really believed in salvation by grace through faith.
I would hope if a Mormon is saying that to a Christian that they're saying it apologetically.
No.
Because certainly that is a stereotype, caricature. Mormons don't like being caricatured, but yet here they are doing the same exact thing when it comes to what they think Christians believe about grace, which certainly, if that's their perception, perhaps they've seen some bad examples, I don't know, but that certainly is not what the New Testament teaches, and I don't think that's what a majority of professing Christians believe anyway.
But that song goes back at least to the 90s, because this friend of mine actually remembered it from way back when he was taught that, when he was a missionary, from some of his friends, and my daughter recognized the tune when he was singing it, and he was kind of amazed even. He says, they're singing that in the school? Yeah.
Well, he goes on very quickly. I know that there is a better plan out there than that, and it's not once saved, always saved. And I believe Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, the first 200 wives, there he goes again with that, were men of God, and I believe we have prophets today just like that. I have no problem that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David were men of God. I do have a problem with the modern LDS prophets being considered men of God. That's our big beef.
Yes.
We don't think that these people teach things that are in accord with what the New Testament has to say. That is our problem. It's a theological difference. Unfortunately, many Latter-day Saints, as we've seen from this email that we've received from this Mormon named David, doesn't seem to understand, or he doesn't seem to grasp the importance of why we're doing what we're doing here. And hopefully, I can only pray that he will someday maybe take us a little more seriously and look at what we really have to say and hopefully reconsider some of his positions.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.